Awake, O sleeping giant. Now, why do I say that? Let me ask you this. When I say the name Napoleon Bonaparte, what comes to your mind? Short. Yes. Yes, he was a man of very short stature. What else? Emperor, conqueror. In fact, he named himself emperor over all of Europe. He ate whole chickens. Oh, it's in a book. It's in a fictional book. You know what? I wouldn't doubt it. He named his infant son, that's serious, he named his infant son as King of Rome. I dub Hudson King of Hindman. You know, there were some things at the beginning of his career that you were like, okay, yeah, that you're using stuff to pretty good, but eventually he just kind of lost it. And it got to the point to where he became so power hungry that he was going to take, he set it himself to try to take over every single country that he possibly could. And he declared himself to be the emperor of Rome, of all of Europe, rather. And it is recorded in a book by a man named Leonard Ravenhill. The book is called Meat for Men. It's for guys who just want to just dive in and just, you know, chew on a lot of scripture. And in that book, there's a chapter called Today's Sleeping Giant. And he talks about Napoleon Bonaparte and how in some type of strategic meeting that they were having to conquer all these places, it says that Napoleon took his finger and he extended his finger and he pointed to a country on a map. And he pointed to that country and he says, "There lies a sleeping giant. Let it sleep, because if it wakes up, it will shake the world." Supposedly, that's exactly what Napoleon said, and he was actually speaking of the country of China. And today, when we look at the mass amount of things that come out of China, when we look at how much of a powerhouse they are in the world as far as what everything that is produced there and whatnot, there's so many things that we could go on to talk about. He had something there. But I want you to take that little illustration, if you would, tonight. And I want you to put yourself in this illustration. No, you're not going to play the part of Napoleon. Thank you. None of us are. But as the church, we'll incorporate Satan. We'll incorporate the enemy in the role of Napoleon. But as the church, we are what the enemy would like for us to think is today's sleeping giant. And it's like the enemy looks at the church of Christ and he says, "There lies a sleeping giant. Let her sleep, because if she wakes up, she will shake the world." See, what I fear is there's a lot of us, maybe in this room, there's a lot of us throughout HSM, because there's a lot of us in HSM who aren't here tonight. A lot of us are, there'll be some that are there on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, at other events that we do. But what I fear is that a lot of us have fallen asleep spiritually. And what needs to happen is we need to wake up so that through the power of the gospel, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can shake the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 13. Beginning in verse 11, we have this. "You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." Let's pray. God, be with us during this time. Wake us up to your word so that our lives, Father, would shake the world for the gospel. Thank you for this moment. Forgive me of the ways that I fail you, that I may stand before these students and these leaders tonight, pure to bring your word. May every word that comes from my mouth come from your Holy Spirit and be nothing in and of myself. May you receive the glory for it as you make us more into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give it to you real simple tonight. It works like this. You know the time, and here's what the time is. Three things. Three things that we find from this passage. They're going to go quick, so check it out. You know the time. First of all, it's time. We've already mentioned this. I've technically already given you the outline. You'll realize it here in just a few seconds. It's time to wake up. And how do we know it's time to wake up? Because Scripture tells us literally in verses 11 and 12 that it's time to wake up. Look what it says, verse 11 and 12. I've even highlighted it for you. Make it stand out more. Boom. Pop. Awesome. You know the time. The hour has come for you to what? Wake from sleep. Let's start right there. We're gonna move on through this passage tonight. The time has come for you to wake from sleep. Some of you have already started back school. And some of you will be starting back school by this time next week. And some of you will have to get back into that routine where you wake up at the ungodliest of hours to prepare yourself to go to school, where you will spend 6 to 7 hours each day gaining knowledge. I'm not being sarcastic. Please don't think that I am. Elizabeth, my daughter, believe it or not, starts kindergarten next Wednesday. That is instinct insane, man. It really is. Monday and yesterday of this week, we had kinder camp. Kinder camp. Kinder camp down here at Hyman Elementary. Yes, my daughter's going to Hyman Elementary. I am a Car Creek Indian. I bleed blue. So do the guys in the booth. But my daughter is going to be going to Hyman Elementary because I can throw and hit it right there. And Monday morning, we woke her up for the first time at about 7:15 a.m. Now, here's what happens. Now, I say that to say this. Did anybody see the posts that I was making on Facebook earlier today about tonight's service? Okay, I made one in particular that may have sound confusing, but I'm getting ready to clarify that statement, all right? I said this on Facebook this morning. I said, do you wake up like a Jawa or like Jabba the Hutt? What? HSM tonight, 7 o'clock. That's all I said in my post today. And I got a lot of response from that. That was nice. I'm going to just start doing that every single week and see what happens. Even if it's not related to anything I'm going to say that night, it'll be the same question every week. No. My daughter Elizabeth, and what I would estimate that most 5-year-old girls do, wake up like Jawas. Now, let me make a very, very straightforward statement to you. Some of you, perhaps even few of you, will actually understand what I'm about to say. Many of you may not. Those of you who understand it, it will be hilarious. Those of you who do not understand it, it will not be. I just want to clarify that right now to save all the awkwardness after it's over. This is how my daughter wakes up. And you either wake up like a Jawa or you wake up like Jabba the Hutt. Every single morning when she got up for kinder camp, those two mornings, she woke up like this. Houdini! You know, it's stuff like that right there. How many of you get that? Thank you. How many of you are like, I don't know, but I still laugh for pity. Awesome, good. I, on the other hand, wake up like Jabba the Hutt every single morning, all right? I'm not saying I'm fat, but what I do is when I wake up every single morning, it's no Jawa. See, Ian knows what I'm talking about. Ian wakes up like a Jawa every morning, see? I wake up like Jabba the Hutt, and it's like this. I start stretching, and I go, that's how I wake up every single morning of my life. Ian, you all right, man? Good deal. Good deal. He's had his face buried for the past 3 minutes. Awesome. So there you go, man. Everybody, whether you realize it or not, wakes up like a Jawa or wakes up like Jabba the Hutt. Embrace that. It's healthy, all right? And share that knowledge with all your friends so they too can look at you like, okay. But man, Elizabeth does, and she has to get in this routine to where it's unnatural for her to wake up that early. Her body has not adjusted to that. But I look at her and say, baby girl, the time has come. The time has come to awake from thy slumber. I do not say this when I go in and wake my daughter up in the morning. But man, we're trying to get into that routine. And some of you are going to get into that routine here in the next week or so. Some of you are already there. Some of you will probably never be in that routine because you're seniors. And I think the seniors may have the exemption there. I don't know. The hour has come. It's obvious for us to wake from our sleep. There's a lot of us spiritually, guys, who are like that picture right there. We're not dead because we're saved. We're not dead. But the enemy has us asleep. And because we're asleep, we are seemingly ineffective for the gospel. The time has come for us to wake up. And then it goes on and says, for salvation is nearer to us now than it was when we first believed. Today, forget yesterday. Yesterday is gone. We can't get that back, all right? Whatever happened yesterday, we can't get it back. You are one day closer now to the day that Christ will return or to the day that you will go and be with him for all eternity. You are one day closer than you were yesterday. Therefore, your salvation is nearer now than it was the day you first believed. The night is far gone, he says. The day is at hand. Paul's writing, he says, you've been asleep for way too long. It's time we really start getting serious about our faith here, guys. It's time we really start getting serious about our walk with Christ, because there are many who have come through HSM, and they have went through HSM from the time they were in sixth grade up until the time they graduated high school. Then they went to college, and they're going in the motions at college the same way they went through the motions all those 7 years of HSM. And they're no closer to Christ now than they were when they started in the sixth grade. And that is not HSM's fault. Because we give you every opportunity we can so that you may become spiritually mature, so that you may grow in your faith. Whether you want to wake up or not is up to you. And so the time has come to wake up. How many seniors are here tonight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, good here. We got a good number of seniors here tonight, even a senior in college. Now, here's the deal. Are you a senior in college? Yeah. In stinking sane. All right. How's your wake-up routine? Yeah! Awesome. Listen here, seniors, let me tell you something. Do you know how many? I graduated in a class of about 120 people. I graduated in a senior class of about 120 people. And do you know how many of those 120 students I see on a regular basis? Let me put it this way. Do you know how many of those 120 students that I saw a year after I graduated with them on a regular basis? About five. That's it. A lot of them, there's a lot of people that I went to high school with, that I graduated with, that I have not seen since the day we graduated. I say all that to tell you this. If you're a Christian, And if whatever's been going on in your high school career to where you have not taken the opportunity to make it obvious that you are a follower of Christ, and that your friends, you know the good news of the gospel, and you know that if they die without Christ, they're busting hell wide open. If you know that, wake up. Wake up. Because you got about 30 weeks left with them. 30 weeks left with them to make sure they know what the gospel is, to make sure they hear of Jesus Christ. Wake up. Number two, not only is it time to wake up, it's time to get ready. You're like, man, this is not deep at all. No, it's not. It's really not. You wake up, you get ready, and you're off. That's pretty much how it works every morning when we get up for school. Anytime that we prepare ourselves for anything, we wake up, we get ready. Let's move on. Let's see what we got here in verses 12 through 13. Second half of verse 12. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We'll start right there. You had this contrast between darkness and light all throughout the Gospels, man. Everywhere, even all the way through the New Testament, really all the way through the Bible, you've got this huge contrast between darkness and light. And the coolest thing about this contrast is that these two cannot occupy the same place. You cannot have light and darkness in the same spot. And the really cool thing about that is wherever light shows up, darkness cowers. It flees. It runs. It cannot stay where light is. And so Paul tells the church at Rome, he says, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. He's saying, now that we have woken up, if we are waking up, if now is the time for us to wake up, let's wake up and let's cast off the deeds of the darkness. Let's cast off all those works and let's put on the armor of light. How do we do that? How do we put on the armor of light? You really want to get serious about your faith, then let's get serious about spending time in the Word of God. Let's get serious about spending time in prayer. Let's get serious about actually taking time and talking to Jesus. Let's get serious about taking the name of Jesus and telling our friends this good news of the gospel, that we believe that if you do not believe in the gospel, then you have no hope. Let's prepare ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, because it's a battle, guys. It is a battle. Every single morning when you wake up, when you're getting ready, it is a battle to throw off the works of the darkness and a battle to put on the armor of light. Look what happens here in Ephesians 6, 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is the fight we've got, Christians. It's not just a matter of do this, don't do this. This is a huge deal here. This is a huge battle that we're in every single day of our life. And every single day, we have to get up and we have to get ourselves ready to fight a battle that we cannot win by ourselves. Every single day as a Christian, you are marching into a battle that you cannot win apart from Christ. You're not strong enough. You're not good enough. You cannot win that battle every single day of your life apart from Jesus Christ. And so get yourself ready. Put on the armor of light. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. And prepare yourself for the battle that you will face. And then look what back he says in Romans. He says, walk properly. You know, obviously Paul's books on the head, all that junk. Walk properly. Walk the way you're supposed to walk. Walk in obedience to the calling that you have received. Because of the calling that you've received through the gospel, walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Walk in a manner, live your life in a manner worthy of the fact that Jesus Christ sacrificed his own body, his own life for you. Walk in such a way that brings glory to God, that shows that this life, that Christ, because of his sacrifice and because of the glory of God, it deserves a sold-out, surrendered life. And so wake up. Get ready. He goes on and lists those things. He says, walk properly as in the daytime, because, let's be honest, most of this stuff doesn't happen in the daylight. It happens in darkness. So he says, move away from the darkness, cast off the darkness, and put on the armor of light. And then let's look at the last one. Let's look at point three. Check this out. Not only is it time to wake up, not only is it time to get ready, but it's time to shake the world, man. It goes right back to the whole thing that we talked about with Napoleon, referencing that to Satan, looking at the church and saying, there lies a sleeping giant. Let it sleep. If we're asleep, Satan has us exactly where he wants us. He can't spiritually kill us because we have eternal life. But if we're asleep, we are of no threat to him. If we're asleep, he doesn't care because we're not going to be effective for the gospel. And we're just biding time until we die at that point. And we're forsaking so many opportunities for eternal rewards. We're forsaking so many opportunities to speak the name of Jesus. Wake up, get ready, and shake the world. Look at what verse 14 says. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, you can't do this on your own. This is not a battle that you can win, that you can even hope to fight and come out even remotely on the good by yourself. So not only do we put on the armor of light, but ultimately we put on Christ. We put on Christ himself because Christ is our strength. He is our shield. It is his blood that covers us. And then in the sight of God, we are seen as just. We are seen as righteous because of Christ, because we have put on Christ, not because of our own efforts. And Paul says, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. No provision for it. Don't put yourself in situations where you know you're going to be tempted. Don't allow yourself to be tempted to fall back asleep again once you have been woken up. Because when you're asleep, you are ineffective for the gospel. Habakkuk. There's a book of the Bible you don't hear quoted very often. And that's sad. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. Listen to this. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Holy cow, Stephen, what in the world does that all mean? Let me just show you this one part that I want you to get, okay? O Lord, I've heard the report of you and your work, the work that God has started in his people, the work that God has done in saving his people, your work, O God, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. Revive it. If you're here and you're a Christian, you are a work of the sovereign hand of God. All of us are works of God because we're all made in his image. But as a Christian, he has started a work in you. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, that is your salvation, will carry it on to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. So, O Lord, your work, this work you have started in me, he's basically saying, God, I feel like I'm asleep. Revive my soul. Revive this work that you've started in me. Wake me up. And prepare me to shake the world. I want you to see one more passage of Scripture before we close. And that's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. And I want you to hear all the similarities that we have in this passage with the passage in Romans that we just read. Check this out. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, therefore, as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's time to wake up. It's time to get ready. It's time to shake the world. I believe that God can do that. I believe that God wants to do that, but it has to start in the souls of every single individual person here in this room. That if we are going to allow God to shake the world through us, it has to start in each and every one of us individually. At the beginning of our passage, we have the phrase, salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed, and that is true. Today, we are one day closer, Christian. You are one day closer to being with Christ forever in glory. And likewise, non-Christian, you are one day closer to being separated from God for all eternity. We're all one day closer. And our salvation is either nearer or our condemnation is either nearer. But praise be to God, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8. And so tonight, this is why we're here. We're here to commit ourselves to the glory of God. We are here to commit ourselves to what He wants to do in and through us this school year. And we are here to present the gospel so that maybe in someone's life right here tonight, He would bring you to truth. He would bring you to light, as He has done with so many who are here.